For Romans 15, verse 21 says, those who have never...
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning.
I'm Apostle Joyce Cranfield. Please join me every Saturday at 8:45 a.m. for the Rose of Sharon Radio Ministry to hear a message from the Word of God.
All right, so that was a little announcement there about Rosa Sharon Ministry taking place on Saturdays. And this is Wednesday Live, so glad you're joining us today. You are listening to 89.9 WCNO in Palm City, Florida, the Good News Station. Great to have you with us. And we are going to have at least two guests in addition to our team here. And I say at least two because sometimes people just show up.
They do.
And so when that happens, you know, sometimes we let them sneak in through the door. But I was out of town. Team, you all did a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Stirred things up a bit.
We give God the glory, you know.
Give God the glory, we do for sure. And Dave, you have a couple things there we can hit real quick here as we get opened up this morning, a little bit of mail.
We have some mail, and one little note that came with a donation, but it we don't know who sent it, but it was just thank you and may God bless WCNO Ministry. And drew a little heart with a cross in it here.
Now, it came with a check, so if I had just been on top of that, I would have given you a name there. At least a first name, right?
At least a first name, but God knows who they are, and we appreciate the thoughts and the prayers for sure. And then, some time ago, back in the early part of the month, we had a gentleman by the name of Paul call and ask for prayer that his wife had passed away. This was Karen who took the call, and she prayed for him, and she said she'd share the prayer request with everyone, which she did, and we've all been able to pray for Paul individually, but I think we ought to just lift him up.
Go ahead, let's do that.
This takes a while. Father, we thank you for Paul reaching out to us.
And yes,
we thank you, Father, that you have a tremendous love for him as you do for all your children, and most especially now in this time of his great loss, we pray that that love you have for him, Father, that manifesting in his heart as your great mercy, your incredible compassion, Father, would heal his broken heart.
Thank you, Father.
And restore him in your time to a fullness of life that maybe right now he does not even know you want him to have because he is so tied up in his grief. And I pray you also surround him with people who love him, who can be supportive of him. I pray that his church will also be a part of that process. And that every day, Lord, that you'll remind him that you have him in the palm of your hand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Paul's a great friend of our ministry. We hear from him often. And, you know, it just reminds me of how wonderful deep relationships are that God blesses us with. And so we're able to go through, whether it's mountains or valleys. And Paul's one of those who had those deep relationships. And his wife, you know, whether it's a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, there still is a fond remembrance and a missing. Knowing she's with the Lord obviously brings a lot of comfort.
Absolutely.
Dave, I think we have a couple more things. I want to get in with our guests real quick, but let's go ahead and see what else we have.
Well, we'll move through these rather rapidly, but every now and then we get releases from Martin County about opportunities for you to serve and various consultative committees, if you will. And there's an opening, this is a long one, so open both your ears. Golden Gate, Old Palm City, Port Salerno, and Rio Neighborhood Advisory Committee vacancies.
Well, that is a long title.
That's a long title.
That's in Martin County.
It's in Martin County.
Volunteer position.
It's a volunteer position. And there are certain requirements that you have to fulfill, but if God's touching your spirit to give a call, you can call Donna Gordon at the Martin County Administration Office, 772-288-5756, or you can email her at dgordon@martin.fl.us. Now, the other thing is, last week,
Is this some of that mail that we're going to have to come back to?
Right. Well, okay. You know, we appreciate people writing us.
We really do.
And maybe you agree with what we're doing, maybe you don't, but we still want you to write and let us know so we can respond. And so after last week's Wednesday Live, we had Sue and Sam Chess. Sue is the executive director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast,
right.
Which is a pregnancy center. It's Christian-based. Sam, of course, not just her husband, but he's a pastor of Grace Emanuel Church there in Port St. Lucie, and a very strong supporter of what Sue is doing in that pro-life ministry.
And of this ministry.
Yes, and of this ministry, mm-hmm. and their programmers and all that. But one of our listeners wrote, and we're going to actually address this hopefully next Wednesday. We're going to have Sue back. We haven't confirmed it yet, but in order to address
the... So if you're listening, Sue, you know, we're scheduling you. Hopefully it's going to work.
On the calendar.
But because this lady that wrote to us raised several concerns, made several statements about false statements that Sue and Sam had made medically and such as that. And
she sort of said, y'all don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
And so we think it's important
to address that.
Sue is not just the executive director and has been involved in there for several decades, but she's also very well read and studied.
She is.
In every issue concerning abortion and the laws and the medicine behind that and what's happening today, she would never say anything that she has not got resources for. So this is what's going to happen. The talking points in this email are going to be addressed by Sue. And by the way, this is something I was going to say, that the lady that wrote this said that, and I won't read the whole thing, but said ignorant radio hosts should not be involved in private medical decisions regarding women's uteruses. Well, let me just say this.
Did you say that on radio?
No.
Oh, she said it.
She said this. Yeah, this was her opinion. Right. Now, let me say this. I was the producer, and running a live program, I was making sure we got on the air and all. I also prompted with questions, but Sue and Sam are not radio hosts.
Right.
They are well-educated people in the field they were discussing.
Right, right.
And so, although I am a radio host and sometimes I'm ignorant, but not about this. Anyway, having said that, next week, God willing, we'll have them on the air. And that is all that I have.
That's all you have.
That's all that I have for now.
Karen, what do you have? You have some mail there as well.
I do. I got a couple of things. First of all, from Diane and Tequesta, our wonderful...
Dear friend.
Great
dear
friend and wonderful supporter. She said, Dear WCNO Radio Representative, you're doing a great job spreading the gospel. Thank you for your faithfulness. And then she enclosed her donation for July, August, and September.
So very faithful.
Thank you, Diane.
Very faithful.
Yes.
Very strong supporter. Thank you, Diane.
Yes, we really appreciate her. And then Sherry brought this donation in, and she wrote, Sherry that works here, she said, this is from my neighbor, Laura. She does not listen to WCNO, but she appreciates me and wants to bless what we do.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Thank you, Laura.
That's great.
That's really
great.
a great thing. You know, they might not want Jesus, but if they like you, Jesus said, if they receive you, they receive me.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes it takes time.
Correct.
To have that impact.
So we're on the right track.
Isn't that awesome, though, God gives you an opportunity to see that your life is actually making a difference in somebody else's life. And so that's great. Thank you, Sherry, for keeping the lights on for Jesus and touching your neighbor. And thanks to the neighbor, even though she doesn't listen. we appreciate the donation. That is great. There is one other thing I need to say, and that is that our signal has again this week and even last week, over the last couple weeks, has at times been reduced. The power has been reduced. And so coming back off vacation, you all made me aware of that. The staff made me aware of that, and so started doing some research. And what's taking place at the tower? We do not own the tower where we broadcast from. We rent from the organization that owns that. It's actually a part of, I think, TV X34. Mm-hmm. And so they have been in the process of replacing some major coax that has to do with their TV broadcast. And there are others who rent on this tower, as mm-hmm. many towers are handled that way. It is not a problem with our equipment. Our new equipment is working perfectly. Our transmitter and all is working perfectly. In studio, all of our equipment's working perfectly. But when repairs and maintenance has to be done, they have to drop the power on everybody on the tower because right. The men can't work in that environment. And so they've run into some complications, and the engineer let me know yesterday that they're hopeful to get that resolved within the next couple days. But we do apologize because some of you in Miami have been getting a strong signal, Fort Lauderdale, and up into Indian River County. We have many listeners up there and around Lake Okeechobee. If you've noticed a little reduction in our signal, that's what's going on. And so very shortly, that we're going to be back up full power. So keep that lifted in prayer. We have to pray for our neighbors that their equipment doesn't fail as well as ours. All right, I want to welcome Dennis Parnell. Dennis Parnell is a longtime friend going back to high school days. Dennis, pull up to that microphone. You need to get it right in your mouth, and we want to get you talking here. So welcome. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome.
Good to be back. Now let me tell you, Dennis can make some noise. In fact, I was thinking about some of the noises he makes, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do any of that today. But Dennis, we reconnected recently at a 50th reunion, high school reunion.
We did.
And that was really great, and we had a lot of our classmates there, and we both attended a school that's located here in Florida in Hope Sound. So tell us, just give us a little bit of your beginnings, and then we're going to get into some other things. But how were you raised? How did you end up in Hope Sound? What was your family like, and where are you from? Who are you?
Well, I was born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Ooh, I know where that is.
Yeah, and I'm seven of eight boys. I'm number seven, and dad died when I was three, so mom was raising us by herself. But we were not raised in a particularly Christian home, though we did attend church sometimes with my grandmother, her mom, and, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I had really no personal knowledge of the Lord at the time.
So how did that happen? How did what happened in your life? I mean, I would think a family with that many boys, seven boys, and you know, one mom trying to pull it together, you all must have gone through some stuff.
Yeah, well, a child of the late 60s, early 70s, you know, as a teenager, I turned 13 in 68, and I started experimenting with street drugs and stuff like that, but nothing that I ever got addicted to.
Okay.
There was a guy, meanwhile, that came along, Chip Thompson. He was doing evangelism explosion, you know, D. James Kennedy at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church was doing that training at the time. And he thought he would get off his couch and come share the gospel with somebody. Guess who the first person that prayed through was? You're looking at him.
Really?
Yes. So I remember a training when I was going to the Nazarene Church. This guy came from somewhere else and did a training, and he says, "My availability is God's opportunity to do a miracle. I am a miracle. I am a miracle. I'm a miracle." Hmm. He made himself available. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. "You going to church with us today?" "No, I don't have any pants." "What size do you wear?"
Wow.
Wow.
He brings some pants. Whatever it was. Whatever excuse I threw at him, he didn't take it. So I got an old time conviction. I didn't know anything about any of this. I thought I was dying. Now, meanwhile, after Chip shared the gospel with me at the park I hung out at, I was in the process of buying weed, actually, and I was sending my friend back and forth to negotiate a price. Right. I'm just being real with everybody.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't do that anymore, but you know how I
guess. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's get that out of the way. But anyway, I did some LSD one day and had a bad trip and thought I got put into hell.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I didn't have any knowledge what that was, but it was like the demons were telling me they had me in hell.
Mm.
And so when my mom got home from work, I went to the emergency room. But I had already said, hey, whoever's in charge up there, I'm ready to change. And a peace came over me right then.
Wow.
Now, that's not when I was born again. That's when the Lord, you know, looked out for me. And I'll never forget Officer Fox, really nice guy. He said, Dennis, as far as the law goes, I'm not going to do anything today. But you should have seen the guy that came in before you. He's not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I come across Chip again. Then I attend the Wesleyan Church that he's part of at the time there in Fort Lauderdale. And I got an old-time conviction. I mean, they were singing the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything but go down there.
You know? We used to have that mourner's bench, right?
Yeah.
An altar at the front, yeah.
Now, remember, I'm unequated with anything to do with praying, altars, or anything like that. But I've been to church a few times, and I figured that's where
you go. That's where you got to go. Yeah.
And that's where the fire fell.
Wow.
You know, I passed from death to life that day. I'll never forget that.
That's awesome.
And never shut up about it.
That is awesome.
Now, I can shut up about my own failures and brag about Jesus. I'm glad to do that every day.
Amen. Amen. So from a family of seven, a neighbor that's going through EE, evangelism explosion, God's touching his heart and God sent him to you. And then God was working through, the enemy had plans to destroy your life, and God knocking on the door. How did you end up in Hope Sound? I mean, that's where I met you. Okay. I was a kid, fairly new Christian myself.
Somebody that had been very supernaturally born again from Fort Lauderdale found that church that was attending Hope Sound.
Mm.
And he got saved at a camp meeting in Michigan. A Holiness camp meeting in Michigan.
Wow. Wow.
A guy named Chris Hebner.
Wow.
And he and his sister eventually attended Hope Sound Bible College as well. But he and his sister used to attend, and then, you know, one thing led to another. God opened the doors for me to attend my last 2 years of high school at Hope Sound. Mm. And that was a culture shock. You know, I had just come from the streets with hair about as long as Karen's, and I was skinny as a rail. Never strung out on anything, but just typical street kid, you know.
Right. Mm.
Never really criminal, just mischief and, you know, doing things I wasn't supposed to do. But still lost as a goblin, you know.
Yeah.
And people say, I found the Lord. He arrested me. I don't know where all this finding the Lord comes from.
Yeah.
But I was under arrest.
Right. Yeah.
And I could believe in irresistible grace.
Amen. God pursued you, did he? Amen. He won. He won.
He won. Praise God.
Well, that is awesome. We were in school, high school together, graduated together, and a lot of years kind of passed. You know, I'm still here in the same area, and here you are. You're in the same area. How did God work in your life after high school?
Well, I attended Hope Sound Bible College. That was kind of an understood thing. That
you went on through college?
Right.
Did you graduate from the college?
Yeah, I jokingly say I crammed 4 years into eight because I changed majors. At one point, remember, I was really into being an EMT.
Right, and I remember
doing
that.
Doing paramedic training and everything. So I thought, I want to go to medical school.
Yeah.
So I went to Bob Jones University, and I was a pre-med major for a year and a half. Well, I didn't have the background, the finances, you know.
And, sure.
But anyway, came back to Hope Sound and finished my degree in 1982, 8 years after I started it.
Mm.
And then I went out to Houston to hang drywall for a couple of years, clear my mind.
That's a big shift.
And that's where I met my former wife.
Wow.
And a year later, we were off to seminary. God was leading me to seminary, Westlake Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. And it was interesting, you know, I was thinking, why am I thinking of seminary? And then Ed Hostetter, I don't know if you remember him, he was a transfer from Penn View to Hope Sound.
Okay.
He graduated from Hope Sound. He was there. And he called me at the same time I was thinking about this. And Dr. Palm had put a catalog in my hand when I graduated and wanted me to go there. I never thought about it after that. Then it all came together, worked out to go to seminary. And one confirmation, my mother-in-law was a little perturbed that I'm taking her daughter from Texas. Never been out of Texas. And 3 months after we were there, the apartment we used to live in got hit by a tornado. The roof was turned upside down.
Wow.
And she said, I walked over there and thought he knew something. And my brother, who's in heaven today, also said he knew something.
Yeah,
I was following orders. That's all I knew.
Right.
So
following God.
There was confirmation all along the way.
So you graduated from seminary?
2 years later with an MA. An M.A.R. in Biblical Literature, it's called.
Okay.
If I would have gone one more year, I could have got a Master of Divinity. It's more of a pastoral degree.
Okay.
That's the M.A.R. is more of a teaching degree, really.
So how did you come? I know that you're a counselor.
Right.
How did you come from seminary to counseling, and what are your credentials, and what are you doing now?
Well, let me fast forward. We came after seminary. We were there one more year. I was still hanging drywall. That's how I made my living, commercial drywall. And then it was her turn to go to school. So we came to Hope Sound so she could attend Hope Sound Bible College. And she went 4 years, and in her last semester, I started a master's in counseling.
Okay.
Okay. And she graduated and was actually the valedictorian that year. And I had another year to go. You know, I completed my coursework in 93 and graduated in January of 94 and started at New Horizons where I did my internship.
That's where
I started.
Here.
Community mental health, yes.
Right. Excellent. So you've had a lot of years. You've been involved in different areas. I think you've even had some in the little connection with the judicial system. Was that a short time or season of time?
Well, all the places I've worked were seasoned, but yes, I started out in community mental health. That's just plain old mental health, you know, people on med maintenance, people going through difficulties,
right,
grief and loss, and they had to see me for an evaluation to get to see the psychiatrist for medications,
right,
and so forth. And then I moved on to substance abuse counseling with a company named CARP. And that's right at the time that my marriage finally fell apart. And I left counseling for 7.5 years, just did blue collar work again to clear my mind. I think all that trauma, I remember what Dr. Smith at Liberty said, if you're called to be a counselor, God's going to hurt you first. I didn't like that. And so I was just early in my career when I got hurt real bad. And now I understand why people that come in when they're losing their marriage or whatever don't snap out of it right away. It takes an average of 5 years to heal from a divorce. Average of 5 years.
Wow.
Depending on the resources you have and the support network.
So from there, how did you end up in the... were you at a jail or a prison facility or what was?
In 05, when I started back in the counseling field, there was a job opening for a sex offender therapist in the Department of Juvenile Justice. So,
okay.
G4S Secure Corps at the time had that contract. And so I got hired on and I had to be under a sex therapist, and his name was Dr. Brainerd Hines. Really cool guy.
Wow. So you were there for a while. You're back here. I asked you the other day, I said, you know, are you still in practice? And are you?
Yes, I do teletherapy now.
Explain that.
Well, see, during COVID, we weren't allowed to see people face to face.
Okay.
So teletherapy became, it's been around over 20 years doing telemedicine.
And I know with doctors, they'll do this today. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that.
Right. And now it really took off during COVID.
Okay.
I mean, I would do between 5 and 9 sessions a day.
Wow.
But I'm licensed in 2 states. I'm licensed here and in Indiana. And the reason I'm licensed in Indiana is because I had a client that came from Indiana to close a business down, hospitality related, and he wanted to keep me as a counselor. So I checked into it. We had reciprocity. There was an executive order where a licensed clinician could operate in Indiana without, you know, being actually licensed there. So then I find out we have the same state test. Now I'm fully licensed in Indiana.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both places. So what type of counseling do you do? We have people listening today that may be interested in counsel and wanting to know. I know recently I was trying to find a Christian counselor for someone, and we beat a lot of pages on the web trying to find where to go.
Well, now, I think we all have our niches, and mine is mainly grief and loss, you know, family of origin issues, working through traumas okay. and stuff like that. I'm not a trauma counselor, but working through issues related to how we were impacted by our upbringing.
Okay.
Anxiety, depression, grief and loss, self-esteem issues, and even codependency. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, but... especially people from addicted homes, they tend to have a very low self-esteem and want approval of others in an exaggerated sort of way.
Okay. So how would people that might be interested in connecting with you, how would they be able to do that?
Well, you can go to psychologytoday.com and put my name in, Daniel Dennis Parnell. And you can see my profile and all the different insurances that are accepted there. And I also have a cash option and a sliding fee for those that are not rolling in cash.
Okay.
If you don't have insurance.
So, Dennis, we come from different backgrounds, you know, but we met while we were in high school. So both of us had a lot of years of Christian foundations laid in our life. How healthy is the church? I mean, mentally, emotionally. I mean, we know we need to be born again, but after that, how healthy are we mentally in the church?
We're not much different than the world. And in fact, if the church would be the church, I wouldn't have a job. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, go to him, take somebody else with you. Let's get it worked out. We kill our wounded.
We kill our wounded.
And why do you think pastors keep their mouths shut and hide problems when they have them? Because it's not safe. We kill our wounded, especially our ministers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I say that?
Yeah. You did say that, and... I'm hopeful that you can stick around because I have another guest that's going to join us by phone. But before we leave today, I believe the whole body is injured when we have leaders that fail.
I agree.
And I sense that injury. I know from a secular, worldly, maybe an unrighteous perspective, there's a bit of celebration, I think, when one of our leaders or some of our leaders get hit, get exposed, you know, it's like, go there. They're all a bunch of hypocrites, you know. Before we leave today, hopefully maybe in the last 10, 15 minutes of our hour, maybe we could just pause for a moment and say, what can we say to pastors? What can we say to other church leaders? What is the answer? How do we deal with the dangers that we're exposed to in ministry, because ministry opens the doors to a lot of dangers. And you being a Christian opens the doors to a lot of temptation. Let me just tell you that. I've had people tell me, I was never tempted with this until I became a Christian. Now I'm tempted, right? Because there's a warfare there. So, Dennis, if you can kind of hang on to that, hopefully you can stick around. Can you hang out with us a while? All right, excellent, excellent. And Karen, you've been real quiet.
Oh, just finding his testimony very interesting. And I concur with the state of the church, you know, that we have a lot of programs, but the church is lacking in the power of God. So hopefully we'll see a turnaround with that.
Amen. And really, really want you to dig into that some, Dennis, we come back. I had a dear friend, his name was Paul Smith, and Paul Smith asked him to come and speak at the church one day. And Paul had a ministry in East Stewart, which is kind of our inner city here in town, and Paul was a wonderful brother of color. And he got up and said, "Now before I speak, I want you to do something along with me. Let's just take off our Superman suits and let's get real." And I remember Paul that morning just saying, why is it that we so often try to hide and come to church with a mask on? And then, how you doing? I'm well. What's happening? Oh, everything's great. And we have that veneer. It's not like that it's not the plan of God to heal us, but it seems the enemy would love for us to somehow dress up and parade in some kind of costume that says everything's perfect. But that's not really the case, is it?
Well, you know, I like what Larry Crabb said. He's a Christian counselor, and at one time he was actually in charge of the counseling program at FAU. He says it goes back to the garden. It's fig leaves. We've lost our original righteousness, and we have that sense of shame constantly.
Yeah.
And we're always trying to impress everybody and feel good about ourselves.
Right.
When really we're hiding from God and we're sowing fig leaves together so we don't see our own nakedness.
All right.
I like that.
Well, we're going to go to a song that's entitled Send Us Revival. When we come back, I'm hopeful to have a guest that's going to be talking about an event that's coming up in Palm Beach County. And we're going to share a few moments with him. And then before we close the morning out, Dennis, we're going to come back and we want to approach this. What can we do in the body of Christ to improve our health? And we'll be right back.
We've come into this house to give you praise and sing these songs to glorify your name. Oh, we won't let this moment slip away, 'cause we want the real thing. We want the real thing. Send us revival. Send us revival. Revival. Send us revival.
And we continue with Wednesday Live, and we have a guest that is joining us. Seth, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yeah.
Great All to be right. Here. Welcome, Seth, to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. I don't know that we've had the pleasure of bringing you on air on our station yet. This may be the first.
First time, and I'm excited about it.
Now, Seth, tell us, what's getting ready to happen in Palm Beach?
So in Palm Beach, we're all geared up for our Believer Summit going on July 26th through July 28th. It's going Friday through Sunday, and it's right there at the West Palm Beach Convention Center. And we're bringing in some awesome speakers. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. And we have speakers like Douglas Wilson, Charlie Kirk. We have David Barton. We've got Seth Gruber. We've got Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee. Eric Metaxas, who just wrote that new book, Letter to the American Church, and we're showing the film, actually, one of those evenings. We have Ali Beth Stuckey and tons more coming to train us. And really, what we're about is to engage, to equip, and to empower local churches. What this conference is really about is the idea that America needs a strong church. Because we believe as the church goes, so goes the nation. And if the church is silent, the nation is going to fall into really destruction. John 10:10 says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we believe that anywhere the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that's where the church needs to stand up and preach the gospel. Amen. Do you agree with me there?
I do. Totally.
Yeah, man. So the theme of the conference is Here I Am. And that comes from over six times God's called people. And you have two decisions when God calls you. You can be like Adam and you can be silent. And when Adam was silent, all the whole world, everything underneath him fell underneath the devil's control and curses came upon the land. But whenever men and women stand up for the Lord and say, Here I am, send me, like Moses said in Exodus 3 and Isaiah said and Samuel said, the Lord can use his people to turn a nation around to be brought back to repentance through the gospel. And that's why America needs a strong church. And that's really what this conference is about, to equip our churches, to equip our people, to equip our pastors to be salt and light in a nation that's falling apart at the seams.
All right, so where is this conference? How can people get more information? What is the cost?
Yeah, man. So the conference, you can find it at tpusafaithevents.com. And if you just look up Believer Summit, you'll find it there. It's going to be in West Palm Beach. And right now the tickets are only $20, which is a really good deal. It's $20 for all 3 days. And with your radio listeners, we also have a code for them to use to get 25% off.
Wow.
And the code is BELIEVE. If you just type in BELIEVE for your general admission, you'll type that in at the end of registration. You can get 25% off the already low ticket cost of $20 for all 3 days.
Wow, that's awesome. So we have a lot of really well-known guests that are coming. Tell us just a little bit about Turning Point. Who are you? What is the organization? And what's the history?
Yeah, so Turning Point started with Charlie Kirk, who really has a passion for America. And he's a Christian. He's a believer who also has a passion for the gospel. And specifically, this event's put on by Turning Point Faith, which is the wing that gets involved with churches and pastors to be salt and light. And that really started not too long ago when Charlie and a group of pastors got together, and they believed that when all of the medical stuff that was going on in the past couple years, they believed that the church was going to stand up and be light in the darkness. And it ended up that the church was just following along with everything the culture was doing because they only preached as much truth as the culture would allow them to get away with. And so Turning Point Faith started to show that, no, we follow Christ. It's not about left and right. It's about up and down. And our King is Jesus, and so we follow the Bible. And so Turning Point Faith is all about getting biblical principles back into America.
That's
and
awesome.
Starting in the churches.
That's awesome. Well, I'm very impressed with the mission of Turning Point and the interaction and relationships that are available to pastors. Can you just talk about that for a minute? As a pastor who's listening today, how will this conference and how will a relationship with Turning Point, how does that work and what are some of the benefits and available opportunities?
Oh, for sure, yeah. So I'm a pastor as well, and I got introduced to Turning Point not too long ago, and once I realized what they had to offer, I was hooked because the nation has so many questions and there's so much darkness out there, and really Turning Point exists to engage the culture, and how we do that is with pastors who know their Bibles. And so we help equip pastors to know where our American foundings came from and where our biblical principles are plugged into all of our laws and all of our ways of life here, and how to defend those worldviews from a biblical perspective and a Christian worldview. And then we also empower pastors by, when I was a pastor before I got introduced to Turning Point, I had the Elijah syndrome, where I thought I was the only one. There's no other people in my area that, yeah, that are working or doing gospel
been there.
Work. Mm. And then Turning Point does a lot of things like pastor roundtables and gatherings where we connect pastors with other like-minded pastors and also connect those pastors to a ministry to their magistrates. So we connect them to local leaders and business owners and things that are like-minded so that we can not have to rebuild anything ourselves, but we can work together to bring back these biblical principles.
That's awesome.
Well, so if you go on our courses, you can find a bunch of different courses that are, everything we offer is for free for your pastors, for your churches, and you're welcome to reach out to me or reach out to us at Turning Point USA Faith, and we can get you plugged into some of those courses and helps for your church.
Excellent. Excellent. So how are people going to get a hold of you?
So you're welcome to reach out to me at seth.tweedale@tpusa.com. That would be my email. But I'll also give you my phone number. It's 321-412-1006.
All right, that's awesome. That's awesome. So once again, this event is coming up on the 26th through the 28th. It's going to be in West Palm Beach. And for, what is it, a Friday evening, a Saturday all day, Sunday all day? Is that kind of the schedule?
Exactly, yeah. So it starts, conference check-in starts at 9 a.m., but the doors open at 5 o'clock on Friday.
Okay.
And then Saturday it's 8:45 to 8:30. Check, and then Sunday it's 9 o'clock to 1. It'll end after that.
Now, is there a schedule of events online if people pull that up, or is that something that they'll receive once they register?
Sure. Yeah, we have a tentative agenda out right now at tpusafaith.com, and we'll be putting out who's speaking and when they're speaking pretty soon. But I'm also expecting a lot of change. You know, this is really just the beginning, this event. But after the event, we're wanting to continue on engaging each other and finding like-minded people to be able to plug in and make a difference for the gospel here in Florida specifically.
Well, that's awesome. How did you end up in West Palm Beach? Just curious. I mean, you're close to me, which I really like. And it's exciting to me to know that God's saying, listen, I'm bringing some big guns in because I have big plans for the state of Florida.
He really does, yeah. And West Palm Beach is kind of the epicenter right now of where things are happening. The Lord kind of moved TPUSA Faith to plant it right there.
Well, that's really awesome. That's awesome. So, Seth, you were just out of town. We've got a couple minutes left. You were just out of town, and you were on, a mission trip, or what was this?
I was, yeah. I was on a mission trip to Zimbabwe. And if you don't know much about Zimbabwe, Rhodesia got taken over, and Mugabe kind of did some mischief there. And now it's they're trying to hold on to a little bit of democracy, but it's really more of a communist country, and they're siding with Russia and China for all their resources. And the church, though, through all of the hardships, is growing, and what they need is pastor training. So that's what I went over there, is I helped train in systematic theology, hermeneutics, homiletics, apologetics, and others to help plant churches. And it was a tough time because their intelligence was working against us. Right when I landed, I got arrested, and everyone in the station was interrogating me. And after a while, I said, I'm not going to answer one more of your questions until you answer one of mine. If you were to die today and stand before a holy and just God, and then your soul to hell,
amen,
what would be your legal defense before him? And there was crickets. And then I said, give me something over there. And I had a bunch of Ray Comfort gospel tracks, which were actually the Million Dollar Bill tracks, and they thought I was bringing in fake money. I explained the law and the gospel to them. And then I said, give me the other bag that you have ripped up over there. I had a lot of Gideon little pocket New Testament Bibles, and I gave them one of those. And they said, these are almost impossible to find. And so I said, you can have that. And then he called everyone else in the police station over, and he said, he's giving out free Bibles. So they all wanted a free Bible. And
whoa.
So
wow.
Ray Comfort and the Gideons saved me from harsh interrogation.
Oh, thank God. All right, so your trip was successful, and you were able to minister to those who were arresting you. That's quite awesome. And you were just mentioning that in our nation, we could learn some from what's happening there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we're only one step away from our freedoms being taken away. That's why we need to stand up for our freedoms in order to do the main thing, which is preach the gospel.
Praise God. That's true. That's true. All right, Seth, one more time, give us the details, and I'm so glad you joined us today.
Awesome. It was great to be with you. Yeah, and I can't wait to see you guys at the Believer Summit. It's going on in West Palm Beach at the West Palm Convention Center, and you can find that at tpusafaith.com, and you'll find the events there. Registration is only $20, and we gave you a new code that's 25% off. So if you register, use the code BELIEVE, BELIEVE, and you will get 25% off the already low cost of $20. 3 days, Friday through Sunday, the 26th through the 28th of July.
Awesome, awesome. And so this is for the entire body of Christ. So get it on your calendar, get signed up. And I'm talking to myself right now because I need to get that done. And Seth, I know that you have a track for pastors. So do you want to mention that for pastors, what's available?
Yeah. Yeah, so for pastors, we have a lot of courses, a lot of helps, and especially pastor gatherings. But so pastors, you're not alone. We are here to help you. We are here to help you with all of these resources for free. And if you need more info, you're welcome to reach out to me. And here's my personal cell phone once again, 321-412-1006. And I'm the regional manager for the state of Florida for TPUSA Faith. And I can't wait to partner with all of you.
And Seth, is it correct that senior pastors actually, by calling you, have access to come without a charge?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so any pastor, church leader, you're welcome to contact me. And even if you need help financially and you're not a pastor, you're welcome to contact me, and I'd love to help you get there. We want everyone there.
There you go. There you go. All right,
Seth. Don't let the cost bother you.
Well, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you, Seth, and look forward to a growing relationship as the kingdom of God advances right here in our own home state. God bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's go be the church.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Talk to you soon. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. And that, of course, is Seth, and he is with Turning Point USA, and we have the Believers Conference that's coming into West Palm Beach, and that's coming up just in a few days, and this is going to be huge, a huge gathering. Perhaps this may be one of the largest gatherings of key leaders that I've seen in my years of ministry. So God is definitely calling people together. God's raising people up. And Dennis Parnell is still with us here in the studio. And Dennis, we were just talking a little bit about your calling and God's opened doors for you to have an opportunity to minister to a number of people, I suppose hundreds of people over your years of ministry?
I think so, because even with Growth Therapy, it's I've been with them 3 years, and that's over 300.
Over 300 just in three years.
Just there.
So for people who may be looking for a Christian counselor, how, again, would they get a hold of you?
Well, you can go to either the growtherapy.com website and look for my name, specifically Daniel Dennis Parnell.
Okay.
Or psychologytoday.com, and they could see my profile and hear a short introductory video as well, and the insurances and the financial arrangements and so forth.
It's all available there online. All right, Dennis, I you know, we just talked briefly about the health of the church, and of course, we have pastors and leaders in the church, and recently there have been several tragic headlines of national leaders, very well-known national leaders, that have had failures, moral failures, or maybe other failures. How do we address this in the body of Christ? I mean, you're a counselor. What do we need to do? I mean, some have done it right. Before we came on air, we were talking of Billy Graham and his team, and how they got together early on and said, "Listen, we're going to do some things that hold us in a place where we're protected, where we're accountable." What do you have to say about this? What can pastors do today that are listening?
Well, as far as actions you can take, can you hear me? Okay,
sure. Now.
Okay. We got to be more open with each other, and you got to know that this pastor is a human being that has needs. He's not your enemy. You don't have to bird dog him. You need to be his friend. You need to pray for him and create an atmosphere of trust. If he can't trust anybody, he's going to be to himself.
That's a dangerous place, isn't it?
It's just like any cat of prey knows, you isolate somebody from the flock, you got them. And if that pastor doesn't feel safe to open up, he's in danger, because secrets grow in the darkness. Mm-hmm. The light exposes these secrets. So accountability, like we mentioned earlier, but there has to be somebody in the church board that's not going to stand waiting for this guy to slip up.
Yeah. In other words, it's not, they're not holding a hatchet. They're not looking for something that's wrong. I mean, and a lot of times pastors have been exposed to that, where there are just there are appointees that are there to find your faults. And we all have them.
The well-intentioned dragons. I've heard that title.
Well-intentioned dragons, yeah.
Yeah, we're making sure you line up.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, legalism is not the problem in the church, and being too liberal is not the problem. The lack of compassion, lack of human contact, we're not really fellowshipping like we used to. We're too busy, you know, how you doing, you know, with our phones and everything.
Like electronics, you're saying the relationships are not there. So what about accountability? How does that work? How would that work? What would you say to pastors as far as protection? How do we do that?
Well, I like what Thomas Aquinas said in The Imitation of Christ. Open not your heart up to every man, but to him who fears God and to him is wise. So we got to be careful as ministers, you know, those of you that are pastors and whatnot, be careful who you open up to, because they may smile and seem to be on your side, but they may be trouble. But at the same time, you got to be vulnerable. Everything involves taking a risk, doesn't it?
It does.
And that's called vulnerability. And I think there's a lot of fear on the part of counselors, especially. Of pastors especially, not being able to open up.
Yeah.
They would love to say, you know, I'm having a problem, struggle here, but they're afraid to get kicked out, losing their job, losing their ministry. And so it just, it's like an infection that they don't address. Or can be.
So Dennis, how about saying before someone falls, why not just get help?
Well,
why wait until there's a big tragedy? Why wait until there's a train wreck? Why wait until that day comes? Why not just seek out some counsel? Now, you're a counselor, so you may not have someone in your church. You may be a husband. Maybe some wives are listening today. Maybe there's some singles that are listening today. You're dealing with issues. There's things going on in your life. You're struggling, and you're kind of embarrassed maybe to go and talk to anybody you know, and you may be hesitant to do that within the church setting. Even they may have counselors, but you may say, I don't want to pull my dirty laundry out. And so how important is it to just head this off early on and say, listen, I need help, and there's nothing wrong with saying that?
Well, you're right. You know, there's a five-second rule. She's not a Christian. Mel Robbins talks about the five-second rule. You know, you have 5 seconds before you start into a self-protective mode in any new behavior.
5 seconds.
Yeah. If you get up and get in motion and say yes, it shuts down the warning system. But if you hesitate, it says danger to an unknown experience. And so as soon as you recognize you need some help, you need to reach out. Now, I say very plainly in my profile on Psychology Today, I do not condemn or condone. I treat. You need to find somebody like that to talk to. And I'm not saying necessarily me, but somebody that doesn't condemn or condone what you're doing. They're just treating you.
And I think a lot of times people are maybe, depending on where their heart is, they might be looking for someone to agree with them. And so I know as a pastor, I've dealt with that over the years, that sometimes people are looking for someone. But in the Word of God, when it talks about if two or three agree is touching anything, and I know it's talking about prayer. It's talking about understanding the mind of God in regards to different situations. But to me, I've always kind of seen that as a God-designed plan, where you find people who are able to agree with God and agree that God has a plan for all of our lives, where you can sort of spill your guts if necessary. I guess just be real. That really is what we're talking about, isn't it?
It totally is.
Yeah.
I have a lot of practice, you know, helping people be real, so it's a little easier for me to even be real. I'm transparent at a certain point with clients in the struggles I've had.
Sure.
Dealing with my anger problem over the years.
Yeah.
And it gives them hope to know that I'm not getting all this out of a book somewhere. You know?
Right.
This is a practical thing I've gone through myself.
Right.